Thank you, Louise. If you have your Bible, turn to the book of Leviticus. I'm so excited to be able to start the year off in Leviticus. We got mostly through this book. We have four messages left in our series. Now we are in the 24th chapter of the book of Leviticus. We'll read just a few verses there to get us started. And while you are turning to Leviticus, which is not very hard to find, let me remind you that this afternoon we will meet at 5:30. We're moving our time up a little bit to give everybody the opportunity today to be a part of our Lord's Supper. This is our family Lord's Supper. This is the time of year when we ask you to come as a family, as a group, as a Sunday school class, just as friends. And you approach the altar. Instead of us coming to you, you come to the altar, and we will administer the Lord's Supper. And it's just a very special service each year. And so this is the Sunday. We only do it this way once a year. And we would like for you to be here. You'll want to be here and to share this very special time with your family and friends. And if you're afraid that you might be alone, just come and join one of our groups. Any group is fine, because we're all family at Northside Baptist Church. Leviticus chapter 24. Just going to read a few verses, but be dealing with the entire chapter. Let's look to verse 17. "And he that kills any man shall surely be put to death. And he that kills a beast shall make it good, beast for beast. And if a man cause a blemish in his neighbor, as he has done, so it shall be done unto him. Breach for breach, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, as he has caused a blemish in a man, so shall it be done to him again. And he that kills a beast, he shall restore it. And he that kills a man, he shall be put to death. You shall have one manner of law, as well as for the stranger, as for one of your own country. For I am the Lord your God." And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me as we pray. Father, we thank you for an opportunity to look to your word. We pray, Father, that you would just touch our hearts. Father, that you would prepare us for 2018. That you would challenge us, Father, that you would get us ready in commitment for what we are going to experience in this new year. Thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. We live in a day where more and more people are ignoring what is important. We're living in a day where people want to get by as easy as they can. They tend to be casting away the serious. They don't want to really face a thoughtful nature of life. Many modern businessmen lament that the problem in business today is the workforce does not want to work. In business, the problem is people don't want to do the business. They don't take their jobs and the work they're supposed to do very seriously. When it comes to production, they don't produce. When it comes to labor, they lay out. And when it comes to earning a living, they just want the money to appear so that they can do whatever they want to do. Well, that sounds good, but it's not good. This is true in industry. It is true in our country. And sadly, it has come to be true in the church. Churches seem to be doing less, not more. Churches are cutting back. Churches are going to church light. Churches now are trying to find the least invasive way that we can call anybody to serve God. Churches are doing things where you can just tip your hat to God. Drive-through church. Well, drive-through prayer, I kind of understand that. If somebody can pray with you anytime, that's a good thing. But drive-through church. Little sermonettes for Christianettes. When a person accepts Christ as their Savior, you need to understand you are actually committing your life to Jesus Christ. Yes, we're seeking forgiveness. No, we don't want to go to hell. Yes, we want to go to heaven. But we are committing ourselves to live for Him and by Him and accomplish His purposes. We're not just saved to live with Jesus in eternity in the sky by and by. We are saved to serve Jesus in the here and now on this earth. He's willing to be your Savior, yes. But I want you to know, in 2018, if you want things to be different, you must understand Jesus demands to be your Lord. John 14 says, "If a man loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. We will come to him and make our abode with him. He that loves me not keeps not my sayings." When a person joins a church, they are likewise making a personal commitment to be faithful to God and through the ministry of that church. Now, that means many things, but could you agree with me that the very simplest, least thing that means is that you're supposed to show up? Doesn't it seem to you that one should at least be as faithful to church as they would be to work or as they would be to school? Shouldn't the God of the universe have some priority in your life? You want 2018 to be special? Then especially determine you are going to walk with God as much as possible every day of this year. Determine that you are going to be faithful to God and faithful to God's house. You know, you shouldn't really check to see on your calendar if anything special is happening. If nothing's happening at all, then you determine you'll go to church. God should have priority. Everything else should revolve around your commitment to be in God's house and worshiping the Lord week by week, Sunday by Sunday. And I know it's going to be a surprise to you, but there's something new happening in 2018. Have you heard? There's going to be a Sunday every week. And so we get together every week. What happens if you have to get away? What happens if you travel? Well, I got news for you. There are going to be believers where you go. And you can worship there. Now, it won't be as good as it would be here, but it'll be okay. And so we should make a practice of our life, and we should teach our children that where we go, we worship, and when we're at home, we worship. And then when they get older and they might move away and they come for a visit, they're not surprised when you go to worship. You don't have this, "Well, we'd go with you, but we didn't bring any clothes." And while you leave them naked at home, you know, you set a standard that they know. And it may be a new standard. It may be set right here and now, but set it right here and now. This year can be different. This year you can mean it. This year can be special. Leviticus teaches us about living in God's presence, and that means walking in God's will. And that's what we need to be doing. Now, earlier in our study, we realized that to be in God's presence is going to require a substitutionary death. There's going to have to be a sacrifice in order for you to come into God's will and have a relationship with God. And then God is going to take steps in your life that you might draw closer to Him. In 2018, you need to understand what Leviticus tells us. God cares about His setting. In Leviticus 24, 4 through 6, it says, "He shall order the lamps upon the pure lampstand before the Lord continually. And you shall take fine flour and bake 12 cakes thereof. And you shall set them in two rows, six in a row, upon the pure table before the Lord." God expected Israel to set up their tabernacle, their worship, in a certain way. And He outlined it for them. There was to be a linen fence. There was to be a bronze altar in the courtyard of the temple for sacrifices and a bronze basin for washing. The tent in the courtyard was for the holy place. There was a curtain there. Behind that tent was the Holy of Holies. On the north side of the holy place was a table on which the bread was placed. To the west was the altar of incense. To the south was a lampstand with seven branches, a menorah. And in the Holy of Holies was the Ark of the Covenant. God had a place for everything needed, and everything needed had its place. I do not believe God would have honored the worship of Israel had they sought to do it in any other way, had they tried to do it outside of God's setting. Only the priests were allowed to go into the holy place, but all the people were to bring oil. The oil in the Bible is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is needed. We need God's Holy Spirit not only to fill us, but to guide us, to work through us. We need God's Holy Spirit to assist us as we face this new year. The Holy Spirit gives us power to stand for the Lord and to serve the Lord. We should walk with God in His Spirit day by day, yielding to whatever God wants us to do. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. I have to have God's Holy Spirit if I intend to live for God and to do what God wants me to do. I can't do it on my own. You can't do it on your own. We need God's Spirit to guide us. Listen, I need God's Spirit to be able to preach God's Word. You have to yield to God's Spirit in order to receive God's Word. Listen, before you would ever say anything negative about a worship service, stop for a moment and ask yourself if you have been yielding to God's Holy Spirit so that you could receive what God intends for you to receive in worship. Now, if you do that, if you listen to God's Spirit, you're going to have a hard time complaining. Because if God didn't lead you in your heart, it's likely that you were disconnected, not God. It's likely you were not listening to what God desired to teach you. The lamp illuminated the holy place as God's Spirit illuminates God's Word. It's the Spirit's illumination that allows us to learn and be blessed by God's Word. We need God's Spirit to illuminate His Word for us in this new year. The fact that everyone was responsible for bringing oil tells us everyone needs to have a desire to serve Jesus. It's not just those in a church staff, not just the preachers, not just the singers that are supposed to be serving God. We're in this together. We have a job for the Lord together. And if you're not willing to serve the Lord, then, my friend, you will never grow in the Lord. And it is likely that you don't know Him. In verses 6 through 9, it speaks of the bread of presence that was to be on the table of the holy place. Now, going through our Christmas time, we talked about Bethlehem. Bethlehem means house of bread. And we know Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And Jesus is the bread of life. The bread of life came from the house of bread. When God sets the table and there is bread, the servants are to take bread. It is pointing to Jesus, and it's pointing to the fact that everybody needs to take part. The show bread was in 12 loaves. There were 12 tribes. That reminded the ministers that they were dealing with real people in a real place, and all of them needed God. Bread's the symbol of God's word. Jesus is the word of God. And so we all need Jesus, and we all need God's word, and we need to follow God's word in the new year. Don't discount it. That's why you need to be in Sunday school. That's why you need to be in worship. You need to seek it out. You need to long for it. There needs to be a desire in your heart. I can't wait to see what God's got for me today. And then spend some time reading God's word on your own. So we see God had a special way laying out the temple, a special order. God expects his order to be carried out. God expects his determined setting to be carried out. Today we are to live our lives according to his setting. Now God cares about his setting, but God also cares about his sayings. In Leviticus 24:14, bring forth him that has cursed without the camp, and let all that heard him lay their hands upon him, and let all the congregation stone him. In this passage, you find an Israelite woman. Now, the Israelites were captive in Egypt, and in that case, some of the Israelite women ended up with husbands who were Egyptian, and that was this case. She had a son who was an Egyptian. She was there. The son was there. The husband is nowhere to be found. Now, the son is walking through the camp with an Israelite. And as they're walking through the camp, we're thinking these are teenagers. As they're walking through the camp, the Egyptian boy curses the name of God. And when he does so, he breaks God's will. Now, immediately, he's taken into custody. He is put away. Moses decides to put him away until they can decide exactly what God would have them to do. Moses is not going to act irrationally. There may be times in this coming year when you're not going to know what to do. May I tell you to seek out the will of God? Search out through the scriptures to see if God says something about what you're dealing with. The Bible tells us in James 1:5, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and upbraids not. Moses was not going to take any action unless he believed it was God's action. That's the way to live your life. Take the actions that God wants you to take. Take the actions that where you can stand and say, I know this is what God desires. So the Lord instructed Moses to take the boy outside the camp and let all the people put their hands on him, and then the Israelites would stone him to death. 24:16. And he that blasphemes the name of the Lord, he shall surely be put to death, and all the congregation shall certainly stone him. Wow. That seems pretty serious, doesn't it? Have you ever heard anyone take God's name in vain? Have you ever taken God's name in vain? What this says is God's really serious about this. God cares about what he has said. What has God said in Exodus 27? You shall not take the name of your Lord your God in vain. To take God's name in vain is to fail to show respect for God and God's character. You know what? In the way we live, we can fail to show respect for God and God's character. When we use God's name in vain, or we act in disrespect for our Lord Jesus and his sacrifice, we're acting like Jesus doesn't exist, and we're acting like his sacrifice doesn't make any difference. Have you ever heard anybody use the name Jesus as a curse word? In fact, it's kind of hard not to have heard it. We are living in a profane day. We're living in a day when people spit on the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. And may I tell you, it should never be a believer. Some of you need to clean up your thought life. Some of you need to clean up your language. Some of you need to clean up your life, period. That's probably all of us. And we need to seek to live each day like it matters to God. We need to carry out our lives like it matters to God. God takes the commandment seriously, but he also takes every one of his words to us seriously. All of the Bible is a serious issue. Now, it doesn't mean we don't ever have fun. There's joy for the believer that follows God's word. We need to follow God. You want to find joy in this new year? Then start living by what God says you should do. You want to find, I know how you can be happy with your parents all year long. Really, I do. Just do everything they say. Amen? They will make it better for you. It will be easier for you. I promise you, it will. You will get more benefit than you ever could dream just by doing everything they say. The same is true with our Lord God. When we do what he says, God blesses us. God delights in us. And he produces in this new year what he wants to produce. We don't have to get to the end of the year and have wasted a year. I don't want to waste any more years. Our dear friend Ronnie Holt had a heart attack on Monday. Most of you are aware of that. He's trying to tell the doctors that he's just fine and wants to walk out. They're trying to say, no, you got to have some surgery. And so they're in that process. Ronnie's being Ronnie. The doctors are being the doctors. Jackie's going to win by the time it's all over with. And so, but one of the things that you know when you get these phone calls is there comes a time of life when your friends are having serious issues of health. And if you're not getting the call about them, they're getting the call about you. What I'm telling you is the clock is ticking for us all. Haven't we wasted enough of our lives? Life is too short to waste any of it. And so let's seize the day. Let's seize 2018. Let's make it count for God. How are we going to make it count for God? Well, understand God cares about his settings and God cares about his sayings. Let's live by God's word. And then God cares about his settlement. In verse 23, and Moses spoke to the children of Israel that they should bring forth him who had cursed out of the camp and stone him with stones, and the children of the Lord did as the Lord commanded him. God is not only serious about his sayings, he is serious about his settlement, that is, his judgment. In this passage, God sets the standards of limits for certain judgments that would take place in civil courts. You may have heard the phrase lex talionis. This is the lex talionis. Leviticus 24:20. Breach for breach, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. As he has caused a blemish in a man, so shall it be done unto him. Some speak of this as being really harsh and the judgments being really hard. Actually, God was being reserved. God was limiting judgment. You see, in that day, if someone killed a goat, they might kill three men. If someone killed one man, they might kill a whole village. And so this was actually limiting judgment, but not avoiding judgment. And what God makes clear is sin will be judged. In fact, all sin will be judged. And to prove it, they took this young man, they took him outside the camp, this man who had cursed God, and they stoned him to death. You know, if God allowed us to be put to death every time we sinned, there wouldn't be anybody here. God is merciful to us, but God takes his judgment seriously. God's judgment is going to fall. Every sin will be judged. Now, if you're in this room today, then you need to know that your sin will be judged. If you are a Christian, your sin has already been judged. When I came to Jesus, I was accepting the judgment for my sin that took place. It took place over 2,000 years ago on Calvary's hillside where Jesus died for my sin. I was judged. I was found guilty. Jesus took the punishment. He died for my sin. My sin was judged. If you are here and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, listen, Jesus died for you. Your sin was judged, but it does not apply to you until you receive Jesus. So how do you have a good 2018? Well, the same way you have a good eternity. You accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You accept the judgment that he paid for your sin. You turn from your sin, you turn to Jesus, and you are eternally saved. If you've not done that, I beg you, today, just walk forward and say, I want Jesus. We will pray together. Jesus will come into your heart. Today will be the day of eternal difference in your life. Now, believers, you know, the truth is we don't live without sin. We should, but we don't. We need to come to God and deal with our sin as believers. We need to get rid of it. We need to seek to live each day as God calls us to live. We need to turn from our sin. We need to turn toward the Lord. We need to give him each day. When we know we messed up, then we need to confess that sin and start walking again with God. I don't care what you did in 2017 or before. This is today. This is the only day we get to live. Let's live it for Jesus with all that we have, with all that we are, with all that we hope to be. Perhaps today, God will call you just to the altar to just make a commitment to the Lord that you're going to follow him. You're going to serve him. And he will bless your life. God challenges you. He cares about his settings. He cares about his sayings. And he cares about his settlement. You need to be caring in this new year. Walking with God. And you're going to be blessed as a result. Let's stand for prayer. Father, right now I ask that you would move within our hearts, that you would draw us to decisions that we need to make. Father, there are those here that do not know you. I pray that they would not spend another moment without you, that today that they would understand they need to come forward and just claim that they need Jesus. Father, I thank you that you will save their soul. Father, I pray for believers. All throughout this room, Father, we need to be making commitments that this year will be different. This year we will care about what you care about. We will live according to your word. And Father, we will see your work through us. God, let this be a new day for a new year. And we thank you for all that you'll accomplish. In Jesus' name, amen. As we sing, would you come?